Are you ready for the Olympics? They're just around the corner in Rio. I know there's been a lot of controversy about them, a lot of fear about the Zika virus, and the Russians can't go because of all of the doping and all of that. It's going to be quite an intriguing Olympics. It's going to start on August 5th, a week and a half from now. I always enjoy just kind of watching the opening ceremonies and seeing all of the different athletes come into the stadium and everyone's cheering. It seems like for the last couple of Olympics, every nation tries to outdo the previous nation with all the fireworks and all the opening ceremonies. It's quite the exciting experience. Have you ever competed in sports? Most of us have in some way or another, even if it was just an elementary PE or something like that. There's something exciting about running a race. We really enjoyed going out and watching our son run track this spring. It seems like you wait all day for that 2-minute race, and you're anticipating it. And you see all of the high school athletes pacing around the field, warming up, and getting all excited for that 2-minute race. And they get up and they put their all into that race. And they get to that finish line, and there's a big sigh of relief, and they're just so excited. And they give the high fives. As Christians, we're on a race. And on this race, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The author to the Hebrews gives us a great cloud of witnesses, a great list of names in chapter 11. Some of the heroes of the faith who were faithful in their own races. Many of them had very difficult challenges. The word for witness in the original Greek is also the word we get for martyr. Many of those great witnesses lost their lives because they were faithful, and it cost them their very lives. These are people who have made it through their own race successfully, and they are there past the finish line, and they are cheering us on. They're saying, don't give up. Keep going. Give it your all. There's a cloud of witnesses in your life as well. Faithful people who have gone before you. Faithful people who have been part of this church, perhaps. Or maybe some family members. Or people of history who are cheering you on in your race. The great cloud provides certainty that victory is possible. That we too can make it. If they've made it through their race, we can make it through our own race. Others have done it, so can you. Don't give up. So how are we going to run this race? The author of Hebrews gives us some hints here of how we can do it. So he starts off, since we have this cloud around us, all these people cheering us on, how are we going to run the race? Let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Two things try to trip us up while we're running this race. One of them are the weights. We have a weight set at our home. We have all kinds of weights because our son Joel's really into weightlifting. And so we have the barbells. We've got the little ones that are just for the hand. We've got like the universal gym that you like lift the weights and your legs and all this. And we even have these little weights that go around your wrist as you walk. I mean, we are weighted out. Have you ever tried to put some of those weights on your legs and walk for a long time? You get tired after a while, especially if they're pretty heavy. Have you ever gone backpacking and had a lot of weight in your backpack? One time when I was a younger man, and I was a summer youth minister up in Great Falls, Montana, and we had planned a hiking trip up into the Bob Marshall Wilderness, just west of the Great Falls area. And I had done my research and bought all this lightweight food stuff, and I told the youth that were going with me, You need to plan ahead and pack light. Well, one of these youth show up, and he had all of this heavy canned food. And I wasn't very smart back then. I would have had him leave it or something. But anyway, we go along, get going on this trip, and he gets tired pretty quick. So guess who carries his backpack? Me. Who got the light one? He did. It gets pretty heavy to carry a heavy load for a long time. There's a lot of things that weigh on us in our race that makes us ineffective. These are things that are not necessarily sin, but they're things that distract us. These are things that whatever that might deaden our souls, that make us numb to God, perhaps. Things that take our focus away from God. These might even be good things, worthwhile things. But we just have our priorities wrong. And they begin to replace God as first in our life. And our priorities get mixed up. These things that they may be good in and of themselves, but they begin to weigh us down. These might be things that cause us to waste time or that take our focus away from the more important things in our life. Whatever it is that's weighing you down in your spiritual development, you need to cast it off so that you can run your race more effectively. And then there are those sins. This speaks to a heart condition. These might be some things that we've been hiding, perhaps. We've ignored in our life. We've God has spoken to us about them, and we kind of push them aside a little bit, and we ignore them, and pretty soon, though, they begin to trip us up. We become preoccupied with earthly things, perhaps, things of the flesh. We've let temptations come into our life, and we've given in to them. These sins, notice that the author says here that sins cling so closely. It's like the lint on the pants or the bugs that keep buzzing around us. You know, they're things that they're stuck to us. They're clinging to us. And so we've got to scrape them off, get them off, get them away from us. Don't let them circle around us anymore. We've got to, when we're running this race, we might have to change our clothes. Have you ever tried to run a race with all your clothes on? I always wonder, you know, I marvel at these police officers. And I know Barbara works with them every day. And they have so much stuff on them. And I wonder, with, you know, they got their belt, their weapons, their handcuffs and all this stuff. I imagine that's probably, you know, 20, 30 pounds of stuff. And I wonder how they can ever catch the criminal who's running down the street, you know, with all this stuff on them. But, you know, somehow they do most of the time, somehow catch them. But wouldn't it be nice to just change all that out and put some running shorts on and some sneakers so you can run fast to catch those criminals? Thousands of Christians are trying to run their race like waterlogged vessels. They're not really sinking, but they're just so overloaded and bogged down with stuff and concerns and sin, unconfessed sin, that they're just kind of like just going very, very slow. Another way to describe it is that there's a lot of baby Christians, even in our churches, who haven't grown very much in their faith. They may believe in Jesus, they've accepted him as their Savior, but they're so bogged down by things of the world that they're not growing very much. And so the author of Hebrews says here to lay aside those things. Do away with them. Be done with them. Confess them. Don't let them keep coming back to bother you. Stop doing whatever is hindering you from growing spiritually. Throw it off. Be done with it. Change your clothes. Let the old be gone and put on something that will help you run your race. But we can't do this without God's help. God has promised that He will help us run this race that we are on. Each of us must honestly look at our own lives and look deep within us. What is it that's causing us from running our race? Remove those things from our lives. It's not a sign of weakness. In fact, it may take more strength to cast those off than to keep going on our journey. When we put these things aside, we will, in fact, find a deeper spiritual strength. We will find that God is there giving us clearer direction and purpose. And the result will be a peace and a purpose for how and what we need to do with our lives. God will show us what is hindering our lives. Each of us may have some different challenges, but if we listen, the Holy Spirit will show us and convict us. John chapter 16, verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will show the path. Jesus also said in that chapter, verse 8, when He comes, the Holy Spirit, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in Me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see Me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit will guide us in three ways. One, about sin. The Holy Spirit will say, don't do that. That's not a good choice. Stay away from that. And about righteousness, this is the path to go in. Go this way. And about judgment, a warning of the consequences. For if we do go towards sin, and if we do go towards righteousness. Walt Disney was known as a ruthless editor of the cartoons and videos that they made in his studios. When Ward Kimball, one of the artists who did the great video Snow White, recalls working 240 days on a 4.5-minute sequence where the dwarfs make up soup for Snow White and almost destroyed the kitchen in the process. Well, after he had worked so long on this, he showed it to Walt Disney. So Walt thought it was very funny, but he decided that the scene didn't fit in to the rest of the video. So he cut it. Can you imagine working so long on something, but yet it was cast aside because it was not considered the most important part of that video? There might be some things in our life that we consider very important, that we've given our lives to them, yet God may tell us, you know, that's not what I want you to do with your life. I want you to go in this direction instead. And that can be a hard thing. It may cost us, but God's way is always the best way. Well, Scripture talks about some things that we should lay aside. Here's some passages of Scripture. And you can write them down and look them up later if you like, but I'll read them for us. Romans 13, 12. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 5, 24 and 25 to 26. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. But now you must rid yourselves of such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. James chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. Therefore, rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, and so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes, no soldier No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. In other words, you don't get caught up in what is not part of the mission. Well, these scriptures all talk about things in our life that are tripping us up. There may be other things in your life that are somehow causing you not to run your race so effectively. Ask God to point those out, and He will. And He'll show you those things. Confess them so you can run the race. Well, how are we going to run our race when we get those things removed from our life? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here is the key thought in this verse. Here's what we need to do. Don't give up on the race. Some of us grow weary and tired in serving the Lord, in being good and righteous and holy. It's not easy to be God's people in this world, is it? It's not. There's a lot of things that are telling us, compromise. There's a lot of things telling us, give up. Go this way. It's easier. Take the road that everyone else is taking. And we see the temptations. We see the signs. Oh, this looks easy. This looks nice. Go this way. What did Jesus say? There's a lot of people going that way. Don't go that way. Go through the narrow gate. Go through this way. Run with endurance. Don't just sit around to be carried along by the stream. Don't just wait around waiting for the taxi cab to come and pick you up. No, get out there and walk the race and don't give up. Keep on running. This is not a race of speed. It's a race of stamina. It is not a sprint, it is a marathon. That means we need to keep going. It's kind of like, you remember that old story we all know about the turtle and the hare, one of Aesop's fables? And, you know, they set off on this race. Well, who actually wins the race? It's the one who kept the steady pace who won the race. Don't give up the race. Don't let tiredness cause you to give up your race. Any type of commitment, whether it's marriage, whether it's a job that you have, whether it's building a house or fixing a car or going through school, it takes endurance. Don't give up. Get that diploma at the end of your school. You know, be faithful in marriage. Don't give up on that marriage. Even when times get rough, you have a project, don't give up, endure. And so we're on this most important race, the race with God, and don't give up your faith. Don't compare your journey with someone else's either. We like to do that. We say, oh, you know, their life is so easy. You know, they don't have all of these problems that I have. And pretty soon we begin thinking, woe is me. And you begin to be envious and jealous of someone else's life. Well, I learned long ago, don't compare yourself to others because you don't know what problems they have in their life. We all have our challenges and our problems. You might think my life's easy and you know, it's great. Well, you come walk in my shoes for a day or two, and you'll find out what kind of things want to trip me up on my walk in life. So don't compare yourself to someone else. Be faithful in your own journey. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Run as if your life depends on it, because your eternity does. Running the Christian race takes three things: unloading the baggage, shedding the sin, and staying with it. That's how we're going to win our race. Even the best of us will trip up during the race. The good news is that God is there more than willing to pick us up. We just need to cry out for His help. We don't give up on the race just because we trip up. No, we get up. We even might be a little bruised from it, but we get up and we get going again. I wasn't at the state track meet, but Rhonda was there cheering our son Joel on, and they were running the 4x100 relay. It was 4x100 relay for the state tournament, and 4x400 relay around the track four times, and these guys are pretty good, and they were really fast. They were had good expectations of getting the medal. And going around, one of them was handing the baton off, and they dropped it. And they didn't give up, though. They grabbed the baton, and they took off. And in spite of being far behind, they didn't give up. Well, unfortunately, they didn't place high enough to get a medal, but they still beat some people. They didn't give up on the race, even though they dropped the baton. Don't give up on your race. So how are we going to do this? By looking to Jesus. Where we end up is determined by what we're aiming for. If we have our eyes fixed on anything else, we'll end up there. If we have our eyes fixed on nothing, where are we going to end up? Lost, in the dark. But if we have our eyes fixed on Jesus and keep them there, we're going to run our race victoriously. Well, what has Jesus done to help us on this race? He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the only one who can perfect our faith. He is the leader. He is the pioneer. He's the one who got it all started for us. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he's already working in you. Our author, our founder is already working in you. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? He's working in your heart, in my heart, right now. And he's guiding us. He is the beginning and the end. In our Sunday school class, we had the first and the last. It fits so well right here. He is the Alpha and the Omega. How did he do this? By enduring the cross and despising the shame. The pain of the cross, the cruelty, what he had to go through so that we might have eternal life. The shame, the rejection that he faced. He was rejected by those who should have exalted him and worshiped him, and they turned their back on him. Jesus endured the cross because he had a bigger goal in mind. He had a purpose. He had a finish line. He cried from the cross, "It is finished." Trials have a way of building strength and endurance in us. Victory comes as we line ourselves up with God's purpose and design in this world. It's a great virtue to be strong under pressure, to hold our ground, to stand by our convictions, to live faithfully when others around us are turning away. It shows our faith when we are firm and unmovable. It is even a greater virtue to be strong while running under temptations and trials and persecutions and stress. The outcome of all of this for Jesus was that he was seated at the right hand of the throne of God, exalted to the highest place of honor. Our goal is to win the prize for which we have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. There are always difficulties that we will face in our Christian life. I know some of you have very significant difficulties. Sometimes they're physical. Sometimes they're emotional. And even sometimes you're going through spiritual battles. Satan's really after you for some reason. And he's really trying to pull you down and discourage you. He is trying to discourage this church. I'll tell you that. And that's part of what his mission is. But we can't let him do that. And we can't let him discourage you either. Where are we going to put our confidence today? I like how this passage goes on in verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Don't give up today. Don't give up on your journey. Don't dwell on in discouragement. Keep in mind that he is there with you. Don't wander around aimlessly. Don't focus your life on something that won't have any meaning. But fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him, and he will guide you. He will direct you. He will give you purpose. He will give you hope, peace, and a plan in your life.